But good to see you. It's good to be together and to worship, and so welcome to each one of you. Let's begin by standing to hear God's call to worship. I'll read. We're going to look at this psalm again in the service, but I'll read just the first couple of verses of Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. God calls us into worship to recognize his greatness. And as he does that, we remember again that he also gives us his greeting as he calls us into worship. Together we hear these words. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to begin our time together by singing, and Tony Hoffman's going to guide us in singing, so please come on up. Are you? Okay, there you go.
I'm just going to speak real loud. Everybody can hear me? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tony, and great singing. Let's now go to our God in a time of prayer, and to lead into that, I will ask if there are things that you would like included in that prayer. Anything that we can include? Al. Certainly, and that's one of the things the church does. We pray for the country that we're part of, and so it is our privilege and responsibility to pray for our nation always and certainly now. So thank you, Al. Yeah, Pat.
I had the news on before I came tonight, and there's unrest in Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about that one, but Iran, there is a lot of unrest because of the government raising the gas prices or something or other like this, and something that people aren't going to be able to afford. And so when places like that have unrest somehow or another, it always trickles down to the whole world.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, you bet. So Hong Kong, I mean, that's been going on for some time, so we'll certainly pray for that. And Pat also mentioned unrest in Iran, and so we'll pray for peace there as well. Yeah.
Neil has been down for a week now, has pneumonia, so just praying that he starts to feel better.
Okay.
He's still really struggling.
That's a tough thing, so we'll certainly pray for Neil and pneumonia.
I have sort of a testimony of praise. I have a brother who's 3 years younger than me.
Okay.
Developed a COPD, and he was having a very hard time breathing. I got a call from my oldest brother, who is a doctor, and he said, Bill has 24, maybe 48 hours to live. And so we were all prepared for his death. And about 36 hours later, we were in Walmart and got a call that he's up and walking. It was a miracle. And that's what my brother said. He said, nothing beyond a miracle.
Wow.
Save him.
Wow. Well, thank you for that testimony. I don't know if you all heard that, but Tony said her brother Bill was lots of heart trouble, heart attack and so forth, and they had thought 24 to 48 hours to live, and soon after that he was up walking and had made a remarkable recovery. Praise the Lord for that. So thank you, Tony. Dewey.
Men and women in the armed service.
Yes.
Especially my granddaughter, who's in the service also. Back from North Korea right now.
You said your granddaughter, I'm trying to recall her name. Do you?
Jocelyn.
Jocelyn? Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you. Gary.
I talked to Steve Smith this morning. They had a fire in some loss this week, but I just sensed a depression. Every setback is hard on them out there. It's difficult going. Times are not that great. So just a reminder that we got to remember to keep praying for them. Pray that that harvest can get completed.
Yeah. Yes, tough time for farmers, and we certainly need to remember and pray for that the crop can come in, and to just pray for the farmers through this time. Okay. Let's pray. pray together then. Father in heaven, thank you for this time again, this evening, to approach you as this part of your church. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for unity that you give us. We thank you that we can be united in our love for you, in our thankfulness for the salvation of Jesus. Thank you for the presence of your Spirit. We praise you for your grace, for your mercy for us, for your wonderful works. We praise you for your promises, and we thank you that all of your promises are yes in Jesus. Again, we come in confession, and we recognize that it's easy for us to enter your presence with hearts that are closed to the work of your Spirit. It's possible that we lift our hands in praise and yet continue to walk in ways that are against you. Father, we pray that you forgive us, and we thank you for the joy of that forgiveness. And we pray that you help us to walk consistently in ways that follow you. We thank you so much for the filling and the presence of your Spirit. And we thank you again for forgiveness that you give. May we walk in the joy and proclaim the joy of your forgiveness. We thank you again for volunteers here, for the many people who serve. We thank you for children here, for families, for marriages. We thank you that we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper frequently, where we remember your work. And we thank you for baptisms that we've been celebrating and that we celebrated this morning. Father, we thank you for your care through difficult times, when there is loneliness, sadness. We pray for those who struggle in those ways. We pray that each of us can know the light and the power of the life that you give. We thank you for your care for those of us here who are struggling with our health in particular ways, many with cancer and with other illnesses. Father, we pray that each one can know your love and your care, your presence and your healing. We look out into our nation and we see a divided nation. We see arguing and fighting over things and a lack of attention to what should be getting done. Father, we pray that you will bring back somehow a unity. We pray for those in leadership, and we pray that you will give an ability to think these things through carefully, an ability to remember what their responsibility is. We pray that you will give wisdom, discretion, and a passion not to be against one another, but to do what is in your will. And so, Father, we pray for your strength and your blessing for each one. We pray that on the local and the national level. As we look out in the world, we see the unrest in Hong Kong, and we pray, Father, for the kind of democracy and freedom that is right for them. And so we pray that that can be, and we pray your peace and your care for them. We pray for the situation in Iran, and we pray again for your peace and your care there. We pray for Neil, and we pray for healing for him. We know that pneumonia can be difficult to recover from, and so we again pray that you will grant healing to him. We thank you with Toni for the healing that you've given to her brother, Bill. We thank you for your care during the time when he had the heart attack and the time when things were really not looking well. And we thank you now for this miraculous recovery. And so we praise you for that turnaround and for healing. And we pray that you continue to bless him in that healing. We pray for those who are in the armed services. We think of Jocelyn, and we pray your care for her. And we pray for so many others. Thank you for that commitment, for that service, that willingness to go into danger to protect. and we pray your care and blessing on them. And we thank you for the freedom that we have, the freedom that many nations have, and we recognize the challenge of that. And so we pray again for those who protect that. We remember, too, our farmers, and Father, we know and we trust that you know the difficulty that they're going through, the challenges they can often face, and certainly the challenges they are facing this season. So, Father, we pray that there will be a break and that they can get the crops in yet. And so we pray your care for that. And in trying to work through that, we pray your strength for each one. We know it can be a challenging occupation, and it has its stress and strain. And so we pray for each one, and we pray that you uphold them and fill them and guide them and strengthen them by your Spirit. Thank you, too, again, for your care for others who are struggling here. We think of Janet and Carly, Laura, Paul, Carol, Karen, Kathy, Aaron, and certainly there are others. And we pray, again, your strength and your healing. Father, we thank you for your guidance, and we pray that when we go our own way, that you will reclaim our hearts. Teach us to discern in our desires what is good and pleasing to you. Thank you that you reign, and we pray that you help us to live in the joy of your reigning. And we thank you that we can do that. We ask that you guide us by your Spirit. We pray that your Spirit will fall afresh on us. Thank you so much for the gift of your presence with us and of your powerful work in this world now. We thank you that we can live in that victory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And we are going to, as we look into God's Word, look again at Psalm 145, and actually Psalm 150 as well. It's not going to be so much a detailed look through those Psalms. This is the last of walking through the Psalms, at least in this series, in our night thing. So we're going to kind of wrap it up by just thinking of the benefits of praise. And I want to recognize that praise is something that we need. And we talked about that last time. We're made to need that. Praise gives us, we said last time, just a sense of an understanding that we're doing something that's right. I mean, we're praising God who created this universe and who is Lord over all. And there's just something very right about doing that, completely right. And when you're doing something that is just that you're made for and that is that right, then there's a blessing in that. Praise also, though, shapes us. When we praise God, that has an effect on who we are. And it gives us stability because it gets our focus off of ourselves and onto God. So those are kind of the three things that we said. Now we're going to kind of expand on some of those and think a little bit more about the benefits of praise. So we're going to go through five benefits tonight that praise shows us. As we do that, I want to recognize a lot of this comes from a book by a preacher named Michael Youssef called Empowered by Praise. And so credit to him in that. Let's begin. We're going to read the two psalms, so it's a fair bit that we're going to read tonight, Psalm 145 and 150. So let's stand for the reading of Scripture. First Psalm 145. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And then Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with a lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the privilege of praising you. As we think about praise and how to live lives of praise, we pray that you guide us again by the presence and work of your Spirit tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may take your seats. I want to recognize as we kind of step into this that praise, in a way, it's easy and it's hard. I mean, it's easy in the sense of we can say, just focus yourself to do it. And yet, we also recognize it's difficult. Al had mentioned in the prayer this morning, and beautifully, that we step into a holiday season, which, you know, there's the song, it's the most wonderful time of the year, which, in a sense, it is, because we're remembering the birth of Christ, but it's also a very, very hard time for many of us. Because we have memories of things that might bring sadness and difficulty, and either something that happened during this time or that we think about, you know, we're missing someone in particular during this time. And so it can also be a very, very hard time. And so that can make it a challenge to praise God. So we recognize that it's something that we can do, and yet it can be very hard to do. Yet we want to think of the benefits of that and recognize that God calls us to be people of praise in all circumstances. And so just five things, and I sort of kept adding thoughts here. I'm so hoping we don't overwhelm ourselves, but we're going to just roll through five benefits here of praise. One of those is praise links us to God, connects us to God. We talked about that last time, but a little bit further this time. Verse 2, every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. When you are blessing someone every day, that benefits your relationship with that one, and in this case, with God. Verse 5, on your wondrous works I will meditate. When we meditate, and meditate is just rolling it over and over again, when we do that, that leads us closer to God. Verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling, raises up those who are bowed down. When we remember that God raises us up when we're falling, and he raises his people up when we are struggling, then that leads us closer to him. Praise brings us closer in a relationship to God. And it links us to God also in the sense that praise helps us to take on his character. When we praise God, we are closer to being in a place as he's working on us by his Spirit to help us be like him. And so we praise him, and we don't become God, but yet there are Christ-like characteristics that God can grow in us as we're praising him. So again, that's part of linking us to him. Praise connects us to God. I remember years ago, I was in a church, and there was a younger person there that worked at McDonald's, and they kind of worked up, and so they became as a young person, and she became a director of a location of McDonald's. And so she sometimes would go to conferences. And I remember asking her once, so what do you do at a conference? And she said, well, you know, we hear speakers. And she talked about this one speaker who came in and said, when you are a leader in a place like this, you cast a shadow. I mean, in a sense, everyone does. But by the shadow, the speaker meant you walk into a place, you are in charge, you're the supervisor, and your mood sort of affects everybody's mood. That can be to the negative or to the positive. And so the speaker said, you make sure you cast a shadow that's a positive one. And I think that's something for all of us to think about. We cast a kind of a shadow in that sense. And so one thing that we can ask ourselves is, what kind of a shadow are we casting? But another is to ask, what kind of a shadow are we in? Are we putting ourselves in? When we praise God, we're putting ourselves under that influence. We are linking ourselves to Him. And I think it's good to recognize that we have a tendency to become distant. C.S. Lewis once compared himself. He said, I feel like I'm on a slide. You ever try to stand on a slide with socks on? And it's pointed away from God. And in my human nature, I just slide away. And yet God pulls me back. And God turns the slide around. Well, praise is part of that, helping us to conquer that distance in God's strength and come closer to Him. Number two, praise benefits our relationships with other people. When we are in God's presence, and when we praise Him, and when He works on us to help us to develop godly characteristics, what sometimes we call, and it's called in the New Testament, the fruit of the Spirit, things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and self-control. When God develops those things in us, then that helps us in relationships, because we're living that way. We're doing those kinds of things, and those kinds of things just naturally benefit relationships. So praise, in sort of a secondary way, praising God also benefits our relationships with other people. And also in the sense that when we get in the habit of praising God, we get in the habit of looking for the best. I mean, seeing what God is doing, but seeing what He's doing in other people. And so that helps us to see the best in other people and perhaps overlook things that should be changed, but we can't change. I mean, sometimes there's confrontation needed, but often there's just overlooking it needed and waiting for God to work in them. So praise helps us to be people who can live in relationship. And also, when we look in the Bible, you see in the book of Revelation, and we see in really a number of places in the Bible, that often when people are praising God, although we can do that on our own, we certainly can, but often praise is done in the company of other believers. I mean, we praised God this morning here. We praise Him tonight as we sing. So there's something about praise that we often do it together. And so in that sense, it brings us together as well, because we're unified around our love for God, our thankfulness for the work of Jesus, our praising Him, and that praise goes to God. But one of the benefits of that is that it brings us together in community as well around that praise. Praise helps us to live in community. It benefits our relationships. Three, praise wars against our pride. It does battle against our pride. Verse 10 and 11 in Psalm 145, all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power. That's all about God's kingdom and God's power. Not our power, not what we can do in our own strength, but it takes the focus off of us and it puts it back onto God, onto His power. And it takes the focus off of our agenda and what I want to do this week and this day and this year, and it puts it onto what God is doing. And so there's a humility that comes with that. When I praise Him, it comes off of I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and it goes on to what is God going to do and how can I be part of what He's doing. It brings a humility, and it fights against our pride. Michael Youssef, in this book, talks about an individual that he knew that went through a spiritual low time. I mean, that's a very common thing, to have times in our life that are low. And this person talked about one of those, and he said that, and it's not the same for everybody, but in his case, he was just really struggling through that, and he got to a point where he said, you know, I remember earlier on when in my Christian life, I was really thrilled about what God was doing. I was thinking less about myself, and I had more joy. And it's sort of come to the point where I'm just thinking more and more of what I want to do in myself. And he said, I came to the point where I realized I had to reverse that, and I had to get back to what is God doing. And he said, when I died to myself, I came alive in my soul. Now, that's right out of the Bible, right? When we die to self, we have life. And he found that true, and he found praise to be part of that, that praising God is part of that dying to self. It's not about me, and putting the focus on God. And he said, I battled my pride in that. And pride is just one of those things that it's such a dangerous thing. If we look through the Bible, one of the places where there's an interesting story on this is the story of the King Uzziah. You can find that if you, we won't take time to read it now, but it's in 2 Chronicles 26. And Uzziah was a pretty good king. He was king for a long time. But it says that at the end of his reign, he got proud. And that's where things went bad. And at one point, he decided he was going to offer sacrifices that he wasn't supposed to offer. It was supposed to be the priest who did it, and he decided he was going to do it anyway. And he went in, the priest confronted him, and he said, no, I'm going to do this. And he ended up, he got leprosy, and he had to live separately, and his son Jotham had to rule for him. But it was all about the pride. It's a dangerous thing, and something that all of us have to be aware of, and to recognize that one of the powerful ways to battle it, that God battles it in us, is when we praise him, and it, again, takes the focus off of us and puts it onto him. Michael Youssef even talks about what he calls a grace pride. His grace pride, he says, is when people who are followers of Jesus Christ develop the thinking that I'm a follower of Jesus Christ because I'm better than somebody else. And he said, that's a form of pride. That the fact that we're followers of Jesus Christ is something that we just humbly thank God for, that he called us into it. And again, that battle against pride, where we submit our thinking, intellect, our feelings, our will, and submit everything to him and praise him. Number four, praise defeats Satan. Now, Satan has been defeated, and so we don't, that's sort of duplication to say that again, and yet Satan can cause a lot of trouble in our lives. And one of the ways to defeat that and to claim that victory of Christ is by praising him and by praising God. I want to read just a few verses. Psalm 8, verses 1 and 2. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. That's praising God and also talking about defeating Satan. In Colossians 2, verse 15, says this, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to shame, to open shame, by triumphing over them in him. And then 1 John 4, 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now, why would I list a number of verses like that of God's victory? And it's connected to praise. One of the things that frequently happens to believers is we recognize, and maybe we don't see it as clearly as we could, but Satan knows my weak spots. He knows your weak spots. And he will go for those and find ways to discourage and work on and try to get at you through those weak spots. And what do we do as believers? Recognizing that, yes, Christ has won the victory, but if we take our eyes off of that, there can be discouragement. And Satan doesn't win. He can't take you away from Christ. That's not what I'm saying. But sometimes there can be discouragement that can happen in this sinful, broken world. And a beautiful way to battle that is to find verses like what I read, and there are many other examples, and say, I'm going to keep those verses in my mind, memorize them, have them become part of you, so that we continually remember and proclaim the victory of Christ and can battle against the discouragement of Satan and in his work. And just keep bringing those verses back. Claim the victory. Just sometimes say the words, no, and then we can say those verses. And there is victory in that kind of praise. It's not our victory. It's simply living and claiming the victory of Christ. I may have told you, I don't remember, but one just example of that, how we can find verses that just speak to our situation, is a verse in 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Now, I had memorized some verses before that through the years, but I always stopped at verse 9. And this is from 1 Peter 5. And verse 10 says this, and this was at a particularly low time in ministry, and I read these words. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And it was one of those times where I'd read that I don't know how many times, and it just kind of leaped off the page at me, and just, God will give strength. And that's, again, finding scripture to praise when there is a discouraging time and living in God's victory and claiming the victory of Christ. We do that through praise, and a lot of that praise is in here. I mean, we praise God for what we see him do, but we also praise him as we have seen in Scripture, through the Psalms and throughout his word. Praise defeats Satan. And last, praise empowers our witness. Psalm 145, verse 16 says this, "You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing." We see that God is a loving God, a generous God. When we praise him in that way and see that part of his character, that calls us to praise him, but also to live that way. That's part of being shaped again by him. And so as we have that generosity, we are witnessing to him. And when we praise God, again, as we said earlier, we are shaped into the people that he wants us to be, which helps us to be people that can proclaim his message, and people to whom others may come and say, what is the source of your hope? It gives us an opportunity to speak the love of Christ, because we are the kind of people that others are drawn to. God calls us in a humble way to say, to praise him, and in that praise to say, shape me so that I can be your instrument in the world. And praising him empowers our witness. And we do that as followers of Jesus in a world that where we see that everything points to him. Every part of this creation, the grass, the snow, the beauty of God's world. I mean, there's a world that's just focusing our attention on God. And God helps or calls us to be focused on praising him in that, and then through that, pointing others to that. And I know that we do this, as we said, in a time where there are challenges that we're facing. And God calls us to be real about those challenges, and yet to praise him in those challenges. Praise is right. praise benefits us. Because that's what we're made to do. We are made to worship. We're made to trust and praise God. And when we do that, we celebrate the benefits of that joyful praise, and we become different people. God calls us to live in the joy of praising Him. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your powerful work. Thank you, Father, that we have the privilege of praising you. Thank you that you show yourself to us and you call us into that praise. You made us to praise and you help us to do that. We pray your blessing on each one here, and we pray that your church may praise you as we live as your instruments in this world. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to see an affirmation and say this together. Let's please stand. These words from Romans 8, 38 and 39, we'll say them together. For I am convinced that neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we sing together. Prepare to go out, we hear his blessing. Together we hear these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. And all God's people said, Amen.